The book of Romans in chapter 7, you see the words, I, me, my, that kind of thing. But when you get to Romans chapter 8, it becomes a different story. And I want to take some verses in chapter 8 this morning and just kind of share those with you to get you to this point of how we understand what this scripture means. Because the understanding of this scripture says everything about where what you know about where you're going to spend eternity. You know, and if you don't know that, you know, I can get up here and tell you story after story every week, but it won't make any difference. I got to tell you the story about how you get there. And I think that's what you want. I don't believe you want to, you know, sugarcoat it, so to speak. I want to share with you those things that are in those verses right there. And I entitled this, There Is No Neutral. Here's what I want you to do. I'm asking you audience participation, okay? My Sunday school already knows this. When I say the word neutral today, I want you to profess, there is no neutral. You want to try it? My sermon title is There's No Neutral. Thank you very much. That was pretty good, too. Not bad at all. If you do that, we'll get out of here pretty quickly. I got to say up front that there are a lot of people that contributed to this sermon. I borrowed from John MacArthur, Donald Gray Barnhouse, J. Vernon McGee, David Jeremiah. I didn't leave a whole lot of people out because it's that important how they say what this scripture means. Now, what Paul is doing there in Romans 8, let's look at Romans 8 and just look at the first part of it right now, and then we'll pull the latter part up later on. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and it's peace. Now, Romans 6:23 says this. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Carnally minded all the time is death. To be set to the flesh and mindful of the flesh is going to lead you to death. And I hate to put it that way. But it says, he also says that you want to have life and peace. You'd be spiritually minded. So we're going to be talking about two things this morning. Being spiritually minded, being carnally minded or selfly minded. And he's worried about that as he goes through this, teaching the difference. Now, John MacArthur said this. He said, as far as spiritual life is concerned, God takes no consideration of gender, age, education, talent, class, race, or any other human distinctions. Now look at Galatians 3:28 right there. Okay. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. John MacArthur says that God differentiates people solely on the basis of their relationships to Him. And the difference is absolute. There is no neutral. Well, that's weak at best, but maybe we'll get better. Now, Donald Gray Barnhouse is a very, very good writer, especially on he wrote a commentary on the book of Romans. He devotes a whole chapter in his book on Romans to explain that there are only two kinds of men. As he introduces that chapter, here's some of kind of what he said. He said, according to the word of God, there are only two kinds of people in the world. Those who have been born once and those have been born twice. Did you get that? There's no neutral. All right, what am I talking about right there? I want you to understand something this morning if you don't get anything. There are two classes of people. There's only two. There's not three. There's not four. And we want to make three and four and five convenient for us. And that's not so, folks. That's a lie of the devil to keep you out of Jesus' care in this life as well as the next life. It's just a lie. There's no, and I thought about this and gave it this name. When you go to the car wash over, I go over there in Chelsea. I'm a good paid member of that car wash over there. I had to get something somewhere. And when we go through there, obviously you've been in there. You know, they tell you, they bring you up and everything. And I don't ever understand this, but tell, okay, come on in, come on in, come on, come on in. You come on in, you drive straight just like they said. And they get right there to the end, they'll go, you know, going, what are they going to do? And then it's kind of like to pick the car up, it slid over into the slots that they wanted. If you've done that, you know what I'm talking about. And then they point to the sign. You better be a fast reader. I'll go ahead and tell you, put the car in neutral. They're going to take you through that baby, and you don't want to do it any other way. His brother Frank went through there with, that's what I figured. But you got to put the car in neutral there for them to carry you across. But what I'm trying to explain to you this morning, folks, is, okay, slow but good. What I'm trying to explain to you this morning is, in this discussion, there are two divisions of men. There is no neutral. Thank you. Because people, let me tell you what people do. They'll say, yeah, I'm doing the best I can. I'm going to church. I'm going to Sunday school. I'm helping out in this deal and that deal and all that kind of stuff. And then you say to them, well, what do you think about salvation? Where are you going to go if you die tomorrow? And you get this really strange look on their face. And then you get this, well, you know, I'm kind of waiting around to see how that does. You know, I'm real close to making the decision. You know, I'm real close to being there. And here's what I want to tell you. No, you're not close to making the decision. You already made it. You already made it when you didn't decide to follow Christ. There's only two. There's not any more. There's two divisions among men. This text shows that the only difference God recognizes is that between men who do not have divine life and those who do. You can have divine life here. That's why this is all written. That's why Paul wrote all this. It's because you can know here if you're saved. I think it's 1 John 5 you can know here if you're saved or whether you're saved or not. If you don't know, you're not. Gee, that was deep, wasn't it? I love Brother Corey preached Wednesday night. And I want to borrow something he says. Stop doing stupid things. That's what he said. Stop doing the stupid things. Take your life and commit it to what Christ wants you to commit it to. And as we go a little further in this, we see those that live according to the flesh. You know, there's a long list of things. And here's another thing I want to clear it with you. People say, well, sometimes I kind of get off in the flesh, and then sometimes I come back. Who do you come back to? And how'd you get back? See, that makes all the difference. You can't just say, well, I'm purposely going to live in the flesh every now and then and enjoy myself. You enjoy yourself living in the spirit, folks. That's where the enjoyment is. It's not in off. I hear people use the word, we party a lot. What? You know what that is? That's code for we drink a lot. to each his own, but that's what it is. I hear that. You know, you see a bunch of people in the house partying, what are they doing? But it's time that we quit playing around with that kind of thing. And I want you to know for the rest of this sermon, and I'm going to preach the same things over and over again, but I want you to see them. And we're going to go, I'll go fast, I promise. It says, the acts of an unsaved man proceeds from the thoughts of his flesh, and they are alien to the life of God, and therefore cannot please God. I see a lot of people, and they tell me, oh, I'm praying about that. Are you saved? Well, no, not yet. Who are you praying to? Who are you praying to? You can't come under the mind of God unless your mind is on Him. People say, well, I'm under the direction of Almighty God. Isn't He wonderful? Yes, He is. But you're not under the direction unless you're living in the spiritual realm. And you're not following after your fleshly lust. Because they're there, folks. They're there. Now, Mike, you mean I can't get forgiven of it? Yes, you can. You certainly can. And we preach that here. That you're forgiven by men, you're forgiven by God. And you can walk in. See, even when we walk in the spiritual realm with Him in those two divisions, sometimes we stray from that. The greatest Christians that we looked at in the Old Testament, poor David, King David, we've been studying about him in Sunday school. Yeah, he kind of drifted from that a time or two. And the bad part is, that's what we remember. We don't remember what a great king he was. We don't remember how much money he got for Israel and Solomon, his son, got to build the temple. We don't remember all that. All we remember is Bathsheba. Am I right? When his name comes up, that's what you think of. And that's a shame. Now, there are not only two divisions, there are two dispositions among men. And we need to see this. Look at 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Now, if I'm living and I wake up every day and I'm going to set my mind on all the fleshly pleasure that I can get, no matter where it is, if I need to go out and get money, if I need to go out here and party, if I need to do this, do that. Setting your mind on things that are against the Spirit is against the Spirit. You see, the Spirit's here. You don't go out and claim the Spirit. The Spirit comes to you, folks, by faith. Ephesians 2:8-9. You're saved by grace through faith. God gave you the ability to believe in Him. You didn't conjure it up, not in the fleshly body that you've got. You didn't just one day say, well, I think I'm going to believe in Jesus today. Well, lovely. Where have you been? And you ask somebody, who have you been believing in? You know what? I'm going to tell you who they've been believing in. Number one. That's who they've been believing in. Number one will take you to death and no afterlife. If you do what number one wants to do all the time, that's what's going to happen. That's coming. And I didn't say that. This word says that. They set their mind. In the Greek, there's this word phreneo, and it refers to a basic orientation or bent or thought patterns of the mind. See, I used to have a pastor, and I was learning how to do most anything Christian. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to do anything. But I listened to him pray, and I love the way he said it. He would say, Lord, take away our bent to sinning and be my Alpha and my Omega. I thought, that's fruity. How do we do that? Take away my bent, the way I'm bent. You got to understand, folks, we're born into this world. There's a sinful nature that's here because that's what Adam chose. Do you like it? I don't. I wish to end up, but I don't know the whole plan, see. I don't know the whole thing. But I know that Adam chose that, and because Adam chose it, we are into a fleshly minded world. We're already bent toward the sin way. It's natural to us. So we read in the scripture where, you know, our desires, our values, everything that motivates us is from an evil perspective. It's going in the wrong direction. When we have faith in Jesus Christ and believe God raised him from the dead, and we say we're going to follow him, we're going to follow after Christ, then the twig gets bent back. You see what I'm saying? Because we're following in a different direction than we were going. But every now and then we say, you know, I don't really know what to do about that. And you don't pray. You don't ask God, so you just go do what you think's best. Here we are. It's a daily back and forth. But let me tell you something. If you've never selected Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're bent here and you're going here. I know that's pretty direct. But that's the way it is. I want to spend the rest of the time talking more about the spiritual mindset than the fleshly mindset. Robert Haldane, a great writer, said, vividly, the man with the flesh mindset, such persons have the minds intent on the things that gratify their corrupt nature. They have no relish for spiritual things. Whatever they may be induced to do from dread of punishment, or hope ever that they may be induced to do in the reward in the future world, their desires are in reality centered on the things of this world. Folks, if you put your desires on the things of this world, that's where you're going to end up. There is no neutral. Thank you. Now, the spiritual mindset. He said, even when believers falter in their obedience to Christ, their orientation does not change. Boy, if my orientation is in Christ, even when I sin, Christ has my sins covered. My orientation did not truly change. Christ has already paid for my sin. And by already paying for my sin, when I sin, it's been covered by the blood. So now, my orientation of going this way to Christ has not changed. And it won't change. Now, is that a free thing to go out and sin all you want to and go out and party? No, absolutely not. Paul said, that's not what it is. You're not making grace grow by doing something like that. That's just absolutely not true. Now, the destiny of the carnal minded. There are two destinies. There's two divisions, two disciplines, two destinies. Okay? The destiny of the carnal minded person. Look at Romans 5:10. I'm sorry, I threw you a curve. Look, just go back to Romans 8:5 and we'll get there. And we read that for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things on the Spirit. Okay, give me the next one there. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, that's what I want to see. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not, capital H, his. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ living in you every day, recognizable, and you're dealing with Christ in spirit every day, then it says you are not his. If you are not his, then his blood didn't cover your sin, because you've never come into a relationship with him. You can't do religion, folks. Religion just looks good from the outside. That's all it does. It's not religion. It's relationship. You can come, hear preachers preach, singers sing. You come do anything you want to in church. But if it's not edifying you in the spirit when you come, you better check up and find out what's going on. Here's the heartache. This burdens my heart like you wouldn't believe. That's why it's so difficult to preach this kind of message, but here's from my heart. I love this church. I love the people of this church. They are diverse. They are come from different backgrounds. I enjoy so much being able to teach with this group. I don't have any special, you know, I just enjoy having the opportunity to teach and to preach and to share with you. I love this church so much that I do not want to see the end of time come. I don't know when that is. You don't know when that is. And you can't be in neutral. Thank you. You can't be there. You can't say, I'm just waiting for the right chance. I'm going to wait for the right sermon. I'm going to wait for the right song to be sung. And then when it is, I'm going to drag up there to the altar. And then everybody will know I hadn't been doing right. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I speak for this whole church. You come up here without Christ and you want to come and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Ain't nobody in this church care where you've been, what you've done. We're going to be rejoicing like God tells us to. Like the angel of the Lord be rejoicing in heaven. What are we going to do? We're not going to point and say, well, I guess they've been in neutral. Ooh. I'm wearing y'all out with that. So the destiny of the carnal minded, we know where they're going, and the destiny of the spiritual minded are in two different places. Two different places. Oh, I'm sorry. I got a note out of order here. Excuse me just one second. Here we go. Now, When I say that the people of God in the past have chosen to do the wrong thing sometimes, they haven't fallen out after what God told them to do. Because after a while, they think, is that right? Is that what he wants me to do? Let me tell you something, folks. If he's whispering in your ear and he's telling you to go here, you go here. Don't you say, oh, no, this looks better to go over here. That's what he meant. No. He doesn't make mistakes. If God is he's telling you to do this, do that, you do it. There's such a contrast as we go through Scripture to see. You know, there are a lot of God's people in past took control of their situation or thought they were. And they messed everything up. Because they didn't do exactly what God said. You think about Abraham marrying Hagar. He wasn't supposed to. He just didn't believe God was going to give children to Sarah. Now, Lot choosing Sodom, the wrong city entirely. Look what happened with that. Moses smiting the Egyptian. Years and years, people wandered in the wilderness, trying to find a promised land because of what Moses did there. Saul sparing the Amalekite cattle. You know, God told him to go in there and kill everything there. And then after he got through, he came back and you could hear the bleeding of the cattle. And, you know, people, God said, what's that? What's that I hear? Because I didn't say leave anything alive. I told you to kill them all. The cattle, the people, attack them. He didn't do it. Jonah was fleeing to Tarshish. Peter smiting Malchus' ear off with a sword. There's only one way to avoid mistakes made by the carnal mind, And that's to have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Whatever controls your mind is more than likely going to push you to the behavior that you're going to follow. It's far-reaching effect of the condition of hostility. It's not simply being slightly uncooperative. It's downright hostile. You not following God's instructions on what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to live your life is not, I just, kind of forgot for a minute. Mm-mm. Not in God's eyes. Because you're either one of His or you're not. Because there's no neutral. Oh. Roast beef is done. Now, the carnal mind is characterized by death. But then everybody hears that. They say, okay, everybody's going to die. Right? If he don't come again, everybody is going to die. But did you hear a while ago what he said? Some people are going to die once. Some people don't die twice. You live once. You're born again once, and then you're born again at the end. When you that judgment seat comes and you pass the judgment seat, you're going to be in heaven. You're not going to be down here worrying about what, my carnal mind made me do. Scripture is filled with the abundant testimony of the peace that comes to the spiritually minded person. Psalm 4:8:1, I'll be quick. Psalm 4:8 says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, have made me dwell in safety. Lord, looking out after you when you weren't looking out after yourself. When you didn't see things coming that were coming and the Lord did. John 14:27 says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Calm down. Don't be anxious. Understand who's in control. Who's in control of your mind? The spiritual-minded person is characterized by life and peace. Life and peace. How many of us can say, well, Mike, I'm living in my life right now and I have total peace. There's a lot of things dragging at us. There's a lot of things reaching to pull us down. But God is, He's able. He's strong. God's got our back. He knows everything that's going on about us, and He knows what we need. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, does it? And we're going, God, I need this. And He's going, I know what you need. So just hush and do what you're supposed to. Well, Lord, I'm trying best I can. I'm going to just hang around here in neutral for a while and have a good time. Oh, okay. Now, I wanted to point this out to you. The spiritual mind is also characterized by life. These are some things of life. It's, the life Jesus Christ came to give us is abundant life experienced by those who have a spiritual mindset produced by the Spirit. John 17:3 says this, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. John 10:10 says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. 1 John 1:2 says, the life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness. And I declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. Just simply means if we set ourselves in the right direction, we can live this life of peace and happiness. There are also two dominions over men. Two dominions. Of course, there's the dominion of the flesh and the dominion of the spirit that I want just to say a word or two about. The acid test of one's faith is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Paul says that you can be certain of your salvation if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, can I tell you, you've got peace in your life? You're not afraid of everything that jumps up because your God's bigger than whatever jumped up. And that's exactly what we are. That's how we should live. The word dwell there, the Spirit dwelling in us, in a Greek language means to be at home with. So the Spirit is at home with me and you. He's at home with us when we are spiritually minded. Now, those that are not spiritually minded, who's home with them? They're all by themselves. They don't get anything else. Spiritual-minded people can cry out and they do whatever they want to do. They can launch their prayers to God when they get desperate. They can do all these things they want to do, but it's not going to work. God doesn't answer prayers from people he doesn't know. Why would he? The only prayer he answers that way is, God, save me. Simplest prayer in Scripture Peter prayed when he was on the water. God, save me. That's all. There's a lot of people in here this morning. All you need to say is, God, save me. That's all you need to do. You need to get away from the pretense that you have. You get away from whatever situation that you're walking every day in. Want people to think you're this or you're that or whatever. You need to get out of that. Get away from that and say, God, save me. When you say, God, save me, and you mean it and you pray, there's no magical formula. God will save you, because you know why? He was wanting to start with. He was looking for you to do it. So he'll definitely save you. In verse 11, he says, without denying the sober grip of sin in the life of the Christian, Paul encourages the Romans. God counts them under the authority of the Spirit, even though the Spirit's work is not yet completed. We're still under the guise of the Spirit. And he said the Spirit's work's not completed. You know why? Because at the end of your life, that Spirit's going to raise you up. It's going to raise you up one day, and you're going to go to heaven to be with Jesus. And you're going to be, the Bible says you're going to be like him. You're going to be with him, and you're going to be like him forever and ever and ever, ever. We see the words mortal and immortal to describe those situations a number of times. Now, at the time of the resurrection, these bodies of ours will be clothed and with life immortal. I don't know what we're going to look like. I don't know what we're going to have. I just know that when it comes, when the resurrection comes, we're going to go be with Jesus. Those that are buried in the ground, in the sea, wherever they are, the death's going to give up the burying. They're going to go be with Christ right then. Not going to have to wait. They're going to be with Christ, okay? Can I tell you, folks, I want to be in that number. And it's more than that. I love you, and I want you to be in that number. Because it breaks my heart to think that I had the opportunity to do this and to preach this to you, and I maybe didn't do it in the right way to let you know that there is no neutral. Thank you very much. The Holy Spirit ensures every believer's opportunity to go. He said, without denying the sober grip of sin in the life of the Christian, Paul encourages the Romans. God counts them under the authority of the Spirit. In this section of Romans, we're brought face to face with the priority of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Three titles are given to the Holy Spirit. Here it is. You ready for this? It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead. They're all one and the same, folks. One and the same. And you know what's really, Sharon and I were praying the other night about some things, and you know what's really wild about this? She comes up with things now, and she spends a lot of time with God. Both of us do. Most of our prayers start out, well, God, I'm hurting. Would you please? But we shared this the other night that the prayers that we offer up to God, they're just as powerful as the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead. We don't realize that. We don't picture it that way. The Holy Spirit took Jesus and raised him from the dead. That same Holy Spirit is in me. And when I pray for you and you pray for me, that's the power that we've got to pray. We are spiritual minded. One with the Spirit of God. And we pray in that way. Now, I'm going to just tell you a couple little stories quick and we're done. On June 12, 1979, a young man made aviation history when he flew a pedal-powered plane across the English Channel. Taking off from England, he flew for 3 hours, never got more than 15 feet over the water. Now finally, after covering 22 miles, he landed exhausted on the coast of France. He says, as dramatic as this was, this man-powered flight, it will never be practical. What's the relation to that? You can play religion all you want to, folks. Never going to amount to anything. Will it look good? Yeah. It probably will. You can make it look good. You can fake it. You can do all those things. I know you can. I've done them. But I'm going to tell you, at the end of the day, there's no practicality in that. End of the day, you're going right. Because there is no neutral, you're going right where. I'm going to finish with a poem, okay? I love poetry. I didn't get the author of this, but I liked it. I think it came out of high school, but I'm not sure. One ship drives east, and the other drives west, with the self-same winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sails and not the gale that tell which way to go. Like the wind of the sea are the waves of fate, and as we voyage along our lives, it's the set of the soul that decides the goal as the wind points to life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity this day. You are a precious God that loves us immensely. I thank you for it, Lord. I know, Lord, I probably didn't give it credence the way it should have been done. I just ask you to forgive my shortcomings. But I will tell you this, Lord, my heart is for this church. My heart is for those this morning that do not know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, there's some here. Lord, take the pride that they have in that and throw it away, because it doesn't amount to a single thing. It's not practical. This pretense that we go through, Lord, it's not practical. It's not rewarding. It's not of the Spirit. And Lord, I just pray that the Spirit of God inside this place this morning, through prayer, Lord, through supplication, Lord, I pray that if there are those here that don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray they step out and come to this altar, Lord. And I'd be glad to pray with each one of them. You know, Lord, it will break my heart if they don't come. Because, Lord, one day's coming. One day is coming. When this life is over, I'm going to fly away, Lord. I want company. I want the Spirit of God to anoint these this morning, that they might want to fly away to. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity for these wonderful people. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Keith?